Ah.
Oh, this must not be a twist off. Hang on.
That went way better for me than for you. There we
go. All right.
Oh, boy. Off to a great start.
Yes, cheers, we are, folks. We are popping tops as we kick off episode 36 of The Cabin. Eric Paulson with Mariah Haberman, Audio Dave and Ellen, and we're drinking in this episode because today it's all about Brew Sconson. So yes. I have a friend of mine gave me a bottle of beer in return for helping him with something. I'm drinking a New Glarus Moon Man that I just pulled out of the fridge. Dave, what do you have?
To be perfectly honest, I, in a mad rush before recording this, went downstairs to grab myself a beer and I need to make a grocery trip. So I grabbed a ginger beer.
Oh.
So that's what I'm drinking.
Well, if you got a copper cup, I know what else you can make with it.
Mm-hmm. But I would love to pretend beer. That this is a very nice IPA.
Is that a Gosling?
It is. Yep. Gosling.
That's the kind of ginger beer I buy.
Very nice.
Very good. And Mariah, are you teetotaling or what's going on over there?
Yeah, I didn't pre-plan this very well. My fridge is empty right now. It's not good.
Story of the Cabin podcast.
I'm the only one at the office, so I'm claiming that I am not drinking because I am at the office.
There's beer upstairs at the office.
I know, there's beer upstairs. There's beer.
We do have a keg.
Let's not kid anyone.
All right, well, let's get sudsy here as we enter the cabin with beer. I didn't even bob my head to that one because I was taking a sip here. The Cabin is brought to you by the Wisconsin Counties Association. And this week we're featuring Vernon County, a gorgeous county in the Driftless area. It was originally named Bad Axe County and was renamed to Vernon County in 1862 to reflect the county's green fields of wheat and evoke Mount Vernon.
What, you don't want to travel to a county named Bad Axe County?
I think it's one of my favorite Bad Axe. Like, yeah. I would, can you imagine being like, I live in Bad Axe County?
Well, there's a Bad Axe in Michigan.
Oh.
Town, and I think a county too, yeah.
So I can just imagine a bunch of very rough-hewn stumps along the side of the road.
Come on, they're very nice people. But the county seat of Vernon County is Viroqua, which is a beautiful town, very artistic, the home of Butch Vig, right?
Mm-hmm.
Audio Dave? Uh-huh. And the Driftless Cafe, which is just an incredibly stellar place to eat if you're a foodie, or even not a foodie, it's really good. So being in the heart of the Driftless area, there's a ton of incredible hiking and biking trails in the area, several wineries, and it's also the home of Westby. There's a huge ski jump there. And Coon Valley's over there, and just a lot of beautiful places to check out. And it's also the headquarters of Organic Valley, which is the world's largest cooperative of family farmers.
Wow.
So many facts today. I love it.
Oh, we're full of them today.
Well done, Ellen and Eric.
Thank you.
And thank you, Wisconsin Counties Association.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, sponsor. We love our sponsors. We know how much you guys loved our Wisconsin episode. I think it's like our second most listened to episode of the Cabin Pod. It goes back and forth with our camping episode we did a while back. Yeah. Aww. So we thought it was about darn time we gave some love to our beer connoisseurs.
I love it.
Yeah. So we're calling this week's Campfire Conversation Brew Sconson. We got to give all the credit right there to Alan. We did not come up with that. That was totally Alan.
It just brings me so much joy.
You little copywriter. Eric, I feel like you're the perfect person to kick this off. And oh my Lord, looking at the outline, you've got like 87 suggestions. So I'm so curious as to which one you are going
to
start us off with.
Well,
give her a go.
Yeah, and it's funny. I love going to all these different breweries and doing samplers, like flights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool how different and creative they can be with their flights, the glasses, the presentation of them and things like that. So I'm going to factor that into some of my top picks here. But I'm gonna start with Potosi Brewing because it's a mixture of a great old school Wisconsin brewery that dates back to back into the 1800s. They were closed for so long. They resurrected in 2008 and Potosi, little tiny Potosi, landed the National Brewery Museum.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The associations like the Americana Brewing Association or something like that. So their official like library stacks are in there. There are neon signs and all kinds of just great brewery memorabilia in the museum. And The brewery's right there. They brew terrific beer and have a great restaurant all along the world's largest main street, or longest main street in Potosi. Beautiful place to visit, great beers, and the world's largest cone top beer can is in the event grounds across the street.
So cool.
They make my favorite amber, their cave ale, the blue label.
Yes, I love
label.
That beer.
So incredible.
I've always
wanted to go tour that brewery and haven't gotten around to it.
You have to go. Absolutely. Beautiful day. It's a beautiful drive. You got to go. So, yeah.
Very nice. I love that you started off with one that I don't think a lot of people have been to. I think it's out of the way, or it's not on everyone's typical road trip unless you're taking that quintessential Great River Road road trip and getting down there to the south part of Highway 35. I remember I haven't been to the brewery, but I've driven through Potosi a few times, and every time I think that same thing. I've got to go and stop and do the flight there because I think they've got a winery across the street, which is where I ended up. But it's just a cool little town to drive through. It's a really cool little town. I love it.
Yeah, I heard you can like walk over the river that kind of flows through the brewery. Is this anything, or am I making this up?
There is a glass area you can walk over. When you walk into the restaurant, like the water rushes below you. It's a little small glass window, but you can stand right over it and walk right over it. It is very cool because it's right up against one of the bluffs.
Yeah.
That they extract the clear, fresh water from.
Mm. Awesome.
So
it's a good one. Okay, well, I want to throw two out right away at the top of this segment here. Two of what I deem to be the most iconic in Wisconsin. This is debatable, I recognize. But we've got New Glarus Brewing Company in, of course, New Glarus over in Greene County. I also want to talk about Line of Kugels in Chippewa Falls. So if you're going to do like some type of brewery bucket list, these two better be on your bucket list. I love New Glarus Brewing Company for a few reasons. First of all, it's in New Glarus, which is one of the coolest towns, obviously very Swiss town, very small town. And the brewery there just has this amazing view of the rolling hill. Sitting out there on the patio is just like, it's the best summer experience. If you round up your friends, grab a couple beers. And the tour itself is amazing. Like, I went on it for the very first time. I think it was last summer or the summer before. And everyone in there, like, when I go there, I think it must be odd for the employees there. I mean, they're constantly, like, they've got to feel like they're in a museum. Because as you're walking through, there's all these big glass or it's all roped off. And they're all, they're working their shift. And tons of people are just kind of, that's got to be weird, I would think. But
yeah, they're on display all the time.
They are, yeah.
Yeah.
But I also really love New Glarus Brewing Company because of just the story and the fact that it was the first, Deb Carey, who owns it with her husband Dan, she is the first female founder of a brewery in the United States, which is crazy. Yeah.
Surprising stat, actually.
I know. Yes, agreed. And I got to interview her and Dan for that same episode a couple of years ago, and they couldn't be more down to earth. They were not setting out, from what I remember from the interview, they were not setting out to accomplish what they accomplished. And I think that's when you find success in people like this, is when they're just doing it because they're passionate. I loved, she told me the story of, I think she was more the creative and Dan did a little bit more of the brewing. So she had a lot to do with the naming of the beers. And I think, I want to say, the Spotted Cow came from her. And she said, you should have seen the reaction when we started naming our beers. People thought we were absolutely nuts. And to see that, I think they were at the forefront of getting crazy with beer names. Nowadays, you see it everywhere, right? Like the crazy names.
Crazy names and good graphic design is how you start a successful brewery.
Great graphic design. And in their case, little to no marketing. I mean, they're one brewery who's just very stubborn about making sure it's only sold in Wisconsin, which has really added to the allure of the beer. And they just don't have to invest a lot in marketing, which has, for them, it's worked out.
Yeah. Well, they were able to do what every business wants, and that's to be desired so much people smuggle it. Mm-hmm. I've had to smuggle Spotted Cow to Los Angeles on a plane.
Yeah.
And, people, it just really drives up. Now, that goes away eventually. I mean, Smokey and the Bandit, the movie, was all about smuggling Coors east of the Mississippi. So that never doesn't always last, but they've got something big in Spotted Cow, and a bunch of their other beers are really good, too. Mm-hmm. So
I started back in 1993, in case you were wondering. I wanted to look that up because, like, how long have they been around? So
that was early on in the craft brewing resurgence, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much Sprecher and them.
And Leinekugels, real quick, just because I brought them up too, another super iconic brewery, been around a lot longer than New Glarus Brewing Company, 150 years-ish, I want to say. And what I love about Leinekugels is, first of all, it's located in Chippewa Falls, another great small town. I mentioned it a few episodes back as one of my favorite towns on the west side of the state.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that you can get a tour with an actual member of the Leinekugel family. I think that's pretty special, like to get a personal tour of the brewery. So something
Dick Leinekugel gave me a tour in one of the episodes, the Chippewa Falls episode.
I remember that.
And it was awesome because he went into so much great detail and, you know, he got into the little nooks and crannies of the brewery. It was awesome.
I can't imagine anyone knows the business better than the actual family. So I think that's super, super cool. Yeah.
Well, and they have the passion for it, too, that they love 100%. To share. So I'm going to give a shout out to Brewfinity in Oconomowoc because they make one of my favorite beers. Oh, and we were talking about that question. If we could be any beer, what would we be?
Yeah.
And the reason I thought of Brewfinity, kind of like a Barbara Walters interview, you know, if you could be any kind of beer, what kind of beer would you be? And my answer would
be... Is Barbara British?
No, but she... The way she talks is distinct.
It's very...
That wasn't a great Barbara Walters impression.
It's very pinky up, I feel like, yes.
Yeah.
What kind of twee would you be? You know, she used to be made... Saturday Night Live did a good spoof of her. So anyway, I was just saying... What kind of beer would I be? I'd be a jalapeno-infused lager, and Brewfinity makes an amazing one called Jorge, and it's good. You get the spice flavor of jalapeno without really the heat, although if you want the heat, they'll add extra jalapeno extract in the beer for you, and it's unique, and as someone who loves spicy food, it's a great spicy beer to go with spicy food, and I love the fact that Brewfinity's original name was Sweet Mullets. New ownership, they changed it to Brewfinity. They've brewed for a lot of other people, but they've expanded nicely. And if you want to go to their brewery, it's in a tiny little industrial park tucked away from Highway 16. So nobody stumbles across that brewery either. You got to know it's there.
Audio Dave, do you know if you were a beer, which one you would be? Did you land on an answer?
I don't. I mean, I just know that I prefer like citrusy IPAs. But I don't know that that's necessarily
so
who I am.
Kind of a citrusy.
You tell
person.
Me.
You're kind
the
of
the juicy IPA.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of real hoppy IPAs. So
I was
Can
for
I
a while.
Can I just be a cider?
That's what I picked too.
Oh boy!
Does that count?
I don't know just, how to decide what I am. Write in.
Barbara Walters would be so disappointed.
Write in. Tell us what you think all of us are, listeners.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, no.
That could be a fun challenge.
I'd like to be a cider if you're listening to this. A very nice cider.
Yes.
They'll probably call me a Blatz or a Schlitz or something.
So if someone's going to be like, definitely a Schlitz.
He's kind of an old school and generic.
No one here is like a Coors Light.
I'm a good
very
old
watered
PBR.
Down.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Oh, no. Classic. Iconic.
I will say that there is nothing to drink while you're watching like a live rock show than a PBR. I could have every beer in front of me and still want a tall boy of PBR at a
That's
live concert.
Questionable.
Also, if you're eating pizza, it's a great beer that goes with like thin crust pizza. PBR.
It's quite the pairing right there. You are a foodie. You are definitely a foodie.
But we should go back to the craft breweries.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Where were we?
That we're talking about. Mariah, I believe it's your turn.
Oh, is it? Okay. Okay. How about let's go to the Stevens Point area because this is a pretty good hot spot for the beer lovers. So I loved my time at Central Waters in Amherst. This spot was launched in 1996, and they're really big on environmental sustainability. I'd say that's probably one of the biggest differentiators when you think about the Central Waters Brewery, an amazing tasting room. And I love their tasting room because it's like wide open. You can see right into the actual brewery behind the tasting room area. And I got a tour from Anello, who helps run the brewery, and just was really memorable. They're just thoughtful, very forward thinking. And I love that. I mean, I think it's fascinating. I think we've had the honor of, and luck of getting to go to so many of these breweries, and it's so cool to see some of the most traditional and iconic breweries still thriving, but then also seeing these new guys coming on up. And behind the scenes, I got to ask Anello a lot of questions about just the toughness of the industry and just how much competition there is nowadays. And it's not necessarily something a lot of people recommend going into now because there is so much competition. So I love getting the behind the scenes of that that business conversation, and they were really fun to have that kind of back and forth with.
Their HHG beer is what we served at our wedding.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Good beer. Yep.
Oh, I think I've had that one.
They make a ton of really great beers. They're a newer facility. It's several years old now, but man, when they opened that newer, larger facility, just incredible.
Yeah. Mm. And then just because we're in the Point area, I was just going to quickly mention Point Brewery, which is the fifth oldest continuously operating brewery in the U.S. It was founded in 1857. Yeah, so the fact that it survived Prohibition and just, you know, a whole lot of craziness over the years and it's still thriving, I think is super cool. Another one I got to go take a tour of, and that'd be like, to me, a nice, if you're going to go to that area, like go to both Central Waters and Point Brewery, because to me, they're like pretty opposite in what they're about. One is like this new, very progressive type of brewery. The other one is like as traditional as it gets. So it's kind of cool to see how each of them operate in their own way.
I'm going to give, because I have an immature sense of humor, I'm going to give a shout out to H.H. Hinder Brewing Company in Waupaca. Stopped there, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 Saturdays ago, maybe 5 or 6 now. But it's funny because, Mariah, you mentioned how craft breweries have expanded. From my State Trunk Tour site, years ago, I said, I'm going to write about every craft brewery in Wisconsin, and there were like 13 or 14 of them. Now there's like 200.
Yeah.
And the deductions for the beer and the mileage are starting to get the IRS to go, what's going on here? But the Hinder Brewing Company in Waupaca, cool place. It's in a great old building in town on Churchill Street, and all of their beers have a bit of a Sir Mix-a-Lot-esque sense of humor to them. Beers include Crack of Dawn, a smash pale ale, the Rumpenheim, an alt beer, Cafe Keister, which is a coffee stout, the Butt Light Light Lager.
Oh, that's great.
I Pledge My Assets, the IPA, a Shweddy Stout, Glad-Ass Porter. And yeah, it's just, it's funny, but they're really good beers. They have good food. They have lumpia, which is like Filipino tacos, unique flavors with those. And the sampler is in a forged iron gear, like a big gear that would be used in mechanical.
Wow.
And they just drilled five, with the gears complete, and there's 5 holes drilled in it, and they serve the beer in glasses in that gear, which I found fascinating. So it's pretty cool.
Crazy. That's in Waupaca.
It's in Waupaca. And I went there and I was going to stop there for 10 minutes and check it out. And I stayed there for over 2 hours.
Oh my goodness.
And just loved it. And I talked to the owner and I got the story. They also, the interior of their brewery has wood and all of these and glass and all these features from buildings all around the state, and including old buildings, even down in Chicago, where they salvaged materials from buildings that are no longer around. So they have a very unique interior. Yeah.
Yeah. After hearing those beer names, I feel like when they were brainstorming them, you were like the architect, you were like the target audience that they had in mind.
Sir,
you were
probably up on the whiteboard. Beers, yes.
They just had a picture of Eric up on the wall and they're just like, what would he enjoy?
How could we get him to stay?
W-E-D. What would Eric do?
How could we get Eric to stay for 2 hours?
I like that, Ellen.
Instead of 30 minutes. Okay. I wanted to also talk about Wisconsin Brewing Company, which served as a recent happy hour for our staff in Verona. I love them because they're pet friendly. Their patio is, and it's very, I mean, you've got to love dogs if you're going to go there. There's no shortage of pups there. They've got a little outdoor bar. Usually in normal summers, they've got music on the patio pretty often. They've got this nice little waterway area, a little tiny pond, if you will, and some great beers and a lot of like Well, it's got a big variety of beers, and I love that they've got a lot with just like a hint of fruit.
Yeah.
That's what I look for. Sandy Cheeks has got some pineapple. They've got a cherry lime. I figured you'd love that one,
that,
Eric.
That cherry lime one was really good.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one when we were there. Bleeding Heart, Sunset Brews was a pretty pop. I think we got a whole picture of the Sunset Brews from what I remember. It had a little coconut flavor to it. And yeah, they obviously this was like their summer menu, but they've got some really fun, creative flavors on their menu, which is awesome.
My favorite part of their location is how close they are to Prairie Moraine Dog Park. If you have a dog that's going to be really amped up about all those people being around him or her, just take them to the dog park first, let them run out all their energy, and then they're totally chill while you have a beer.
Yes, and it's a massive dog park, so it is a fun one to go to. I should have done that with Josie prior to going to Wisconsin Brewing Company. She was hyper, but yeah, it's a fun spot.
You know, it's funny, a lot of these craft breweries are dog friendly, and a lot of them are actually kid and family friendly too. And as long as we're talking about that, I'm going to give a shout out to a relatively new one called Doosterbeck's Brewing, which is on a farm, a real farm, and it's northwest of Elkhorn, north of Delavan on County Road O. And I mean, it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere, but they make really good beer, and they have a really nice patio and a really cool play area for kids. I was just there a couple weeks ago on a sunny Sunday, and it was families all around and kids were playing because they have all this barn stuff and farm equipment and cool places you can climb on and get your energy out while the adults are having a beer or two. And it's just one of those happy Wisconsin family things where beer is involved. And it was really cool. So there's a lot of breweries that are like that, though, where they want you to bring the family and just spend the afternoon and have a good time. And I really like those places.
Never heard of that one. It's on my list now.
I think it just opened. I was there like the first week it opened, and I think that might have been November, October, November. So they're really new.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only have a couple minutes left here per Ellen's signals.
I'm going to give a couple more shout outs then.
No, but I wanted to ask, what are the most unique brewery tours that you can think of? I always think of there are so many different angles that a brewery can give to their tours. Some are very informative and teach you all about the science and the process and everything. Some, like Lakefront in Milwaukee, are basically a long stand-up routine that's
very entertaining.
I was going to mention
Lakefront, yeah.
Are there any that come to mind when you think of that?
I don't do the tours that often, actually.
No? Okay.
I do flight samples and talk to the owners.
Okay.
I like getting the backstory. Now, a really cool tour I did take, and this was for the show, so I might not have gotten your average tour, but it was at Pearl Street Brewery in La Crosse, which they started, obviously, on Pearl Street. Oh, Ellen, I got you all.
I know that one.
Yeah, they started in a basement on Pearl Street, and they've been so successful. They moved into an old boot factory on the east side of town, so they're huge. Their facility is massive. They have a video arcade in there and large brewing facility, and then they have cellars downstairs where they brew experimental beers. And I got a really great tour of that place, and they went into the science a lot, and we discussed so many different styles of beer and how they come about. And you know, you leave there fascinated with this, not just enjoying the beer, but the science behind it. And that's what draws so many brewers into it. It's an incredible combination of science and food and beverage.
Well, and I just add, I mean, the tours are always fascinating, but I think what I was a late bloomer in the beer sampling arena. And I thought I knew myself when it came to beer. Like, I thought I only liked really, really specific types. And it wasn't until I started working for the show and they start sending you to all these breweries that I started to realize, I know, it was just tough. I started to realize that I actually had a wider palate than I originally had thought. And there were IPAs I found that I really liked. And there were, I used to think I didn't like dark beers. And then I went to Three Sheeps and tried like the darkest beer I've ever tried. And I loved it. So that to me was always the more, like, interesting part of leaving a brewery. Yes, it's fascinating what you learn on the tour, but I loved learning, like, wow, that's never a beer I would have thought to get at the grocery store, but now that I sampled it, I totally would. And I drink it during a certain experience at home, or whether it's football games, or whether it's I'm bringing friends over and want to impress them with my nice craft beers I got in the fridge. That's, I think, the payoff to doing some of those samples, those beer samples.
And the pairings, like we talked about earlier, I mean, the wine pairings have been around forever. With beer getting more complex, beer pairings have become a big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it, totally there is very much something to that.
100%.
Are we out of time, Ellen? Because I could do like 40
Eric, why
more.
Don't you rapid fire? Why don't you rapid fire the rest of your list? And I would like to say, I know Carbon 4 is on your list. They have a great seltzer.
Mm. Oh, do they? Oh, I've not tried that. No,
oh,
I love Carbon 4.
That's a whole other realm that's popping up that we could
Wisconsin?
Dive into.
Seltzer?
Yeah. Wisconsin? I don't know. Okay.
Work on a new word for that, Ellen. I'm going to give a shout out. Bridge Up Brewing in Sturgeon Bay, right there on the water where the steel bridge is awesome. Broken Bat and Wizard Works Brewing in my hood in the Third Ward area of Milwaukee. The Wizard Works is great because he's a magician and a brewer, so you get magic tricks with your beers.
Very nice.
And in Green Bay, if you want to do a nice brewery tour, you've got Badger State, Hinterland, Titletown, Copper State, Stillmank, Noble Roots, and Zambaldi Beer, all within maybe 5-6 miles of each other. So it is, there are so many great breweries in this state, and it would take 22 podcasts to get through half of them.
Exactly, 22.
But love them all, and I love the creativity behind them all.
Me too.
Absolutely.
All right, Ellen, I guess we'll move on, right?
I love that. I mean, you know what? If you got one more, I'm going to give it to you today.
No, I've got like 20 more, so I should probably stop here.
Maybe we'll do a part two.
You know, the key is to know when to stop.
There you
Fair
go.
Enough.
Podcast okay. about beer responsibly.
Yes. Drink Wisconsinably, right? This episode of The Cabin is sponsored in part by the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association, GLTPA for short. Now, does anyone recall the storms that moved across central Wisconsin in July of last year? There's some pretty rough ones. And WPS reported over 50,000 outages at the height of the storm. Over 250,000 acres of trees were damaged in these storms. And you know, when you see tree damage like that, you know, it leaves a scar for a long time. Now, a lot of Wisconsin loggers were called to help with these blown down areas. And shout out to all of you. But it was one Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association member in particular who stepped up in a big way. His name is Matt Jensen. With Whitetail Logging, he quickly became a trustworthy logger in the affected communities. He offered fair prices, proved he knew what he was doing, getting the job done in a timely manner, got roads open, put residents and businesses back in action. And now we don't want any more storms to blow in anytime soon, but if they do, you got to give Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association a call so they can point you in the right direction to a trustworthy member.
It's time for a warm and fuzzy, warm and fuzzy, warm and fuzzy. You guys ready?
Can I just cut that up, put some music to it, and then that'll be the segment intro?
Yeah, every week we'll play it.
It's like green and yellow, warm and fuzzy, warm and fuzzy.
I know this isn't audible format, but I'd like a Care Bear like coming in with a cartoonish voice. Anyway, what I meant by that is I'm going to read another review. From one of our listeners, this one is D.W. Jameson. Here's what he says, or she. Thank you for doing this podcast. Being from Florida and now Colorado, I vacation every year in Florence County. It brings me excitement and joy to hear all of you so passionate about the state and the cool things to do. It is fun to listen and learn more about all Wisconsin has to offer.
Aww. Thanks, D-Dub.
Thanks, D.W. Jameson. And thank you to all of our listeners that have been sharing this podcast with your friends. And those of you, I think 113-ish of you who've been leaving reviews because we are trying to read them.
Give or take.
On 113 and counting. And honestly, I know we kind of joke about it, but it does make a big difference in the success of this podcast, both leaving reviews and sharing this podcast. We love getting to do this for you guys every week. So please keep it up. And if you have any ideas, whatever you'd like to hear us talk about on the show, go to Around the Campfire, our Facebook page, or find us across social media in general and let us know. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. We've said it before, but help us convince our bosses that this is a worthwhile endeavor.
100%. Yes.
All right. Well, on that note, thank you for joining us here on The Cabin Podcast, episode 36. And next week, we have our third edition of Wisconsin's Best Bites. This one is going to be the Supper Club edition.
Ooh.
Love it.
Ooh.
Yes. We'll also be going behind the scenes. I know a lot of old fashions, fish fries and prime ribs and all that to
prepare. We all need to be prepared for the next recording.
Yeah, it sounds like I need to find some special music for it.
I'm going to research like crazy.
And I will be getting my old fashioned ingredients prepared here.
Brandy or whiskey?
Definitely brandy. Okay. We'll bring it up next week.
Table that.
But, but I mean, brandy.
Brandy's old fashioned sour. I'm in. We'll also be going behind the scenes if we make it that far with our Oneida Nation episode of Discover Wisconsin. It premiered in January of this year, but the podcast didn't exist then. So it's about time we talked about it.
Yeah. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, and Dave Janis. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Audio Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover MediaWorks. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Located just 20 miles west of Madison rests Cave of the Mounds, one of Wisconsin's national landmarks. Cave of the Mounds was accidentally discovered on August 4, 1939, when workers removing limestone from a quarry blasted into the cave. The explosion revealed a limestone cave more than 20 feet high, opening into other rooms and galleries, all containing numerous mineral formations.
It began forming 2 million years ago, and it is continuing to form today. So it's an actively forming cave. All of the crystal formations that you'll see here underground are still actively growing.
Formed out of natural limestone, the cave has been a destination for visitors and explorers for more than 75 years. The cave hosts daily tours where all sorts of people can meander underground on paved, lighted walkways and experience the underground world.
The limestone here is 400 million years old. So some of the features on the cave, the fossils that we see in the cave, are 400 million years old. So it's really a slice of Wisconsin history way, way back in time.
Cave of the Mounds is the premier cave in the upper Midwest and the jewel box of America's major show caves.
It's a whole different experience, a whole nother world. When you go down inside the earth, you see those crystal formations, those still pools, and just you're taking a trip back in time, literally, because you can't tell from being down here what age we're in.
And now you know your Wisconsin.